What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everybody. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I am great, Kevin. How are you?
Really, really good. I am actually kind of surprised that it took us this long. Well, just kind of as a recap for the listeners, over, I'd say, the last 20 or so episodes, we have sprinkled a re-review of the archetypes, not from the perspective of explaining them, but how would you market this archetype? And so we're on episode 10 of that little internal mini series, and we're covering the Explorer archetype. So when we first started this idea, the very first one was the Outlaw, because that's you. And the second one we did was the Jester, and that's me. And those are both kind of obvious, but we saved, here we are, second to last, and we're covering the Explorer. And I don't know why we waited so long, because Brand Archetypes itself is an Explorer archetype. So
that's true.
What we're talking about today is kind of near and dear to our own hearts here, because that's how we are marketing Brand Archetypes.
Right. And it's a popular one. People pick it a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to channel our inner Sacagawea today and become explorers. It's all about the Explorer archetype. And there's a good thing that it's a good thing that there's two of us, because like most of our other archetypes, this one not only has two sub-archetypes, but also, in my humble opinion, these two sub-archetypes are more different from each other than the other sub-archetypes in others. So
yeah, I'd agree.
It makes for a lot of differing flavors depending on how you mix these things up and the approach that you take. So there's a lot of opportunities kind of inherently within the archetype right from the beginning, and while you can still stay within brand, there's a lot of directions you can go. So, Amy, let's explain what I mean by all of that a little bit, because there's probably, I'm hearing a lot of cocked heads and ears perking up like, what's he talking about?
Right.
So why don't you start us out by diving into one of the archetypes.
All right. That sounds great. So I'm going to start off with the first sub-archetype that is named the same as the parent archetype and is called the Explorer sub-archetype. And this sub taps into the physical exploration of the world, or the exploration of new ideas and experiences. So if you want your audience to experience something new, or to feel like they're going to experience something special, this sub-archetype might be the right one for you. So I think a little bit later we're going to get into some examples different ones.
So I'm hearing it's a lot about the experience, whether it's a physical or a mental experience. It's an experiential thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And as you're talking, I know it's a little bit like saying out loud which of your kids you like best, but if you were to ask me which is my favorite archetype, of course I'm going to say Jester, because that's the one I am, but I really have to put Explorer way, way high on that list because of kind of what you just said. I think it's really easy to market with this archetype.
And storytelling plays a big part. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what about the second one?
So that leaves me the second one, which we call the Butler.
The Butler. Just Jeeves. The
Butler. So if you think about that word, the ideas that
to buttle.
Is that a verb?
To buttle.
Really? I'm going to have to integrate that into my vocabulary 7 times today so I own it. Francie will be like, what the heck are you talking about?
Like, are you a 12-year-old? What are you saying?
Okay, so this one might be good for you if your goal is to make customers feel either like they're being pampered and being served, just like a butler would, or you want them to have the idea that your products and services, that they're not only awesome, but that they deserve it, despite the cost or anything else that might, you know, be in their way of getting this awesome product or service. So we find a lot of high-end and niche products kind of taking this approach because of this feeling that is so easily to convey. So for example, if you go to brandarchetypes.com and then find your way to the Explorer page, you will find references to companies like Gucci and Rolex and Louis Vuitton and really high-end products because they take this approach, this butler approach.
Right.
So, Amy, now that we know what each of the subarchetypes is, one is based on experience and the other is on feeling special or being cared for, let's go through both of the subarchetypes and let's talk about how we need to screw our heads on properly and market each of these. Again, like we've done with the last 9 of these mini-series episodes, we're not going to talk about specific marketing tactics because the marketing tactics are kind of irrelevant. But what is relevant is if you consider what are the big underlying ideas for possible marketing campaigns.
All right. For the Explorer subarchetype, you should think about and clearly define the new experience you want your audience to feel. So here's some tips. Be specific. The more detailed you are in formulating this idea, the more powerful and focused it will be, of course. So for example, if you want your audience to feel the thrill of the great outdoors, show them the great outdoors. Talk about the experiences they'll have. Talk about like life-changing moments they'll walk away with. And you'll need to be super creative in shifting their mind in the moment, away from their ho-hum existence to the amazing things they will see and do. You know, of course, your approach will be different if your specific focus idea is different. So you could do like, you want them to feel freedom or happiness, excitement, fulfillment, connectedness, etc. So there's that kind of thing. Like, so what comes to my mind in that, you know, is kind of like, you know, travel companies or things like that where, you know, then that's like a given, like the Explorer for travel. But, you know, you're showing them a new experience. What are they going to walk away with?
Well, okay. Another one was, you know, the great outdoors almost always elicits this feeling of freshness. So you'll like fabric softeners and dryer sheets and soaps and, you know, a lot of them tap into the feeling of the great outdoors because of cleanliness. That's their focus idea.
Right? Or like camping, you know, that kind of thing. That's an experience, right?
But the point is, it's not about the product. It's about that feeling that you need to shift them to that you know, very specific.
That's true.
What else?
All right. So after being specific, you want to tap into powerful ideas, kind of like the ones we just listed. So let's compare like 2 commercials. One for an off-road vehicle number 1 and the other for off-road vehicle number 2. So the first commercial shows 2 dudes jetting across a rocky peak in one scene, and they're like approaching the edge of a 1,000-foot drop off. While in the next scene, they're mud bogging and completely covered, top to bottom in mud. The car's all dirty. So that's the first commercial. Then the second one is vehicle number 2, which is catering to like, you know, a whole nother demographic, say like soccer moms or people with kids. Right. And it shows like a mom dropping off her kids at the local school. It talks about the spaciousness of the vehicle, the MPGs, the safety, like all the kinds of things like that. So while there's
nothing smelling what you're throwing down.
Right. So while there's nothing wrong with the idea of catering to like soccer moms, it's a little too like motherly and quite a bit like off brand for the Explorer. So they're not really focusing on that whole experience or focusing on more of like the care of the car for your family.
Yeah, so, that's interesting because as you were describing, I'm like, yeah, I can see a car company doing that. And when you go through your 2 scenarios, like, oh yeah, the first one's just way more on brand and way better. Yeah. So it kind of reminds me, I have a kind of this idea that you're conveying an idea, like the 2 dudes mud bogging, right? Mm-hmm. They're covered. How many people with a Jeep, let's say vehicle number 1 was a Jeep, how many people have actually done that? Where they've gone out and gotten themselves up to waist deep in mud and, you know, cut.
Well,
do you know of anybody?
I do. I have a very good friend of mine who's part of a Jeep club, and they do that. So there's a whole club that does it. But most people have like vanity Jeeps that they don't want any mud on.
But the commercials always show that, right?
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that up is I lived in Northern California for 14 years. And anytime that you meet anyone from Northern California, someone's going to bring up, oh, it's the only place where you can go skiing in the morning up in Tahoe and then swimming in the afternoon down in the ocean in the afternoon. And I always, whenever I hear that, I always ask them, so have you ever done that before?
Right. Seems like a lot of work.
No.
Yeah. Very, no. A very tiring
day. Do you know
day.
Anybody? Do you know of anybody who's ever done that? No. Right. But they all talk about it. Right. So, when you're telling a story, it doesn't matter if the person will actually ever do it or will ever even want to do it. You're still just telling the story because along with that story comes a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, right? Those feelings. Yes, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so here, let's take a quick break before we dive into the second archetype. And I believe you have a little blurb of a conference announcement for us.
I do.
Okay, let's go ahead and listen to this.
Okay. Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. Win big prizes and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
We're back in the second sub-archetype. So you started us off with the Explorer. We're going to talk about the Butler now. So to pull off a successful brand with the Butler sub-archetype, it does require to some degree that you have a product or service that's either already perceived as being kind of on the high end of quality or that there is some seriously compelling feature or benefit that's worthy of consideration above and beyond your competitors. So I think you would have a little bit harder of a time. It's not untenable. It's definitely possible to pick this for any brand, any product, any service. But if you have competitors where you are really, truly almost identical and none of the products, either yours or your competitors, are super high-end quality, this is going to be a tough one to pull off. So try to get one of those two ideas right from the get-go. You either have to be high-end or you have to have some kind of awesome benefit. So once you have that, you can, though, tap into the Butler.
And start buttling.
Yeah, and it can start buttling here. So here are some tips. So first thing is you truly understand your target audience's motivation. So let's say that you have a product that's 20% more expensive than the competition, but it's more efficient, it works faster. You could tap into the trigger of saving time. So understanding your target audience really wanting to save time as part of their motivation for buying a product. Time is a super important.
Time is money.
go big with that idea. Yeah, there are some people who value time more than anything else in their lives.
Heck yeah.
And I can say that because I'm one of those people.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, if you can save me time, I will be willing to pay almost anything for that. So, second is focus on the differentiation. So while your products and services might be extremely similar to your competitors, you should almost exclusively focus on the differences because that's what explorers do.
Right, but wouldn't you say here that like you shouldn't focus on the difference being that your price is lower if that's the difference?
That is true.
Right. Because
we don't, okay. we definitely do not want to get into the downward spiral, the race to the bottom
right.
of price.
Not with this, yeah, not with the Explorer. Yeah.
Not with the Explorer.
Right.
Not with any archetype.
Well, true.
Especially not this
right.
one. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. And the third thing I think you should focus on is whether you would like it or not, if you're picking this archetype, you have to focus on how special you are, being special, and how special your target audience is, and making them feel as if they're special. So if
Kevin, I just want to say here, I think you're really special.
Oh, thank you so much.
yeah.
I feel like I'm feeling explored.
No, that's
different.
Different podcast.
lover archetype. Okay. Okay. So if you do adopt this sub-archetype, your target audience should. They should feel super special, just like Amy made me feel just now. And when they think about or use your product, and they should... You know what? I would even go so far as to say that if they're not able to get your product or not able to access it somehow, or that they're going to feel deprived. That
yeah.
You want them to feel that strong.
My life is not complete without this thing.
That is right.
Yeah.
So all your messaging should zero in on having them think that they really, truly deserve your product.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit of a luxury. I mean, I can see a person saying, yes, it's a bit of a luxury. It's a bit more expensive. I'm feeling a little guilty about this, but dang, I deserve this.
Yeah.
That's what you want going through your target audience's
yeah.
head. If they're thinking that kind of stuff, you have successfully yeah. implemented.
It's like, eat that
right?
second cookie. You're fine. You deserve
That's
it.
That's right. I deserve this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to expect that at some point in time, you're going to throw in some word of advice here.
Words? It's that time? Yay. I'm
it's
so excited.
That time.
Okay.
I know. Okay.
All right. So, you know, marketing 101 or, you know, Kevin and I tell you
yeah.
that you should focus on the needs of your target audience, not on your own features and benefits, right? Of course, that's
right.
just for any brand, anything you're doing.
Right.
Well, this applies here more than ever, again, with the Explorer archetype. The messaging from a successful Explorer brand should never, ever be about you, your product, your features, your benefits, or your company. It's all about the customer, their wants,
yeah.
their desires, their needs, their, you know, what
Pains,
they deserve, all that kind
motivations,
of
motivations,
needs.
Yeah.
yeah. So here are some different categories of words. So you, depending on what flavor of the Explorer or sub-archetype or whatever you're doing.
And you and your product. Yeah. Your,
yep.
your choice needs to be to what you are embracing, the
right.
ideas that you're embracing. Yeah.
Right. So you need to pick words that inspire. So words like authentic, elite, breathtaking, exceptional, you know, inspiring them.
Yeah, breathtaking. That's
yep.
awesome.
You can pick words that take you off to faraway places. That's that whole physical exploration of the world kind of thing or experience.
Mm-hmm.
So adventurous, discover, experience, explore, exclusive, you know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Exclusive resort, you know. And also pick words that are exciting. So you want daring, dashing, deluxe, glittering. I like that word, glittering.
Mm.
Or similarly, pick words that are energetic. So exciting, energetic. So dominant, extraordinary, grandeur, incredible, words
mm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, of course, the words that reinforce that idea that they deserve your product, that you're worth it. So there's, you know, the phrase like well-deserved, acclaimed, long time coming, you've arrived, finally, like finally there's this product on the market you've been waiting for, that kind
oh, yeah.
of thing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome
yeah.
approach to words. And,
yeah.
and I guess it's now my turn to talk about some visuals.
Visuals,
right?
'Cause
you're
going to
combine those great words with visuals.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a similar approach in not showing the products, the features, the benefits of the product and the service. But what we're going to do is we're going to show real people really using your product, or equally powerful is to show them experiencing something completely different and amazing. So Amy, let's do a little brainstorming, little test here.
All right.
So let's use our typical Explorer brand product.
Starbucks.
Yay.
yeah.
And let's come on. And for the people who have not listened to that, let me do a super two sentence recap. Starbucks is an Explorer because you get exactly what you want. When you go to Dunkin' Donuts, let's say, which is a neighbor archetype, you get, you know, regular decaf. But when you go to Starbucks, you get the half-calf, double decaf, venti latte with the extra foam and a sprinkle of nutmeg, right?
Right. Because
that's what I get, right?
Right. And it's like, so, you know, $6.
Right. But I'm willing to pay that because of the experience and the way that they do
the room. Yeah. You're special and you deserve it.
Thank you. Aww. Okay, so let's come up with a Starbucks commercial. And, you know, we're going to be focusing on the visuals here. We're not going to just settle for showing people drinking and enjoying coffee, which would be a typical approach, you know? Mm-hmm. People smiling and happy and laughing and hanging around with friends, a lot of coffee places are going to do that because not that's like what people do.
Yeah, right? Not like sweating and overly caffeinated with like way too many shots of espresso. That would be which would be my reality.
The gesture, I like that, especially the sweaty part. Right,
right, right.
Okay, so picture line of people waiting for their coffee. Right.
Okay, got it.
So as each person takes their first sip, each person is going to experience their coffee in a different way. So for each of these ideas, I would really love to find out that Starbucks heard this podcast and actually took this one.
Yeah, oh, wouldn't that be exciting?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Right. Okay. So for each idea, we need to come up with a powerful visual. So let me start.
Okay.
Okay. The first person orders, let's say he orders an iced Frappuccino.
Okay.
And let's make it a female. So
okay. Female, you know, ice lady, frappuccino.
Got it. Late 20s, you know, up and coming business.
Messy bun on her head. Okay, right. Got it.
And it has nothing to do with the product. Remember, we're going to take her on a little experience. So as she takes her first sip, flash, her brain, you know, gets this internal image. Woohoo, right? So her eyes bug out open and we get to see inside of her brain. And she is now full framed in a fur-lined parka. We just see her face, and as we pan away, she's standing on this beautiful glacier peak with a blue-white snow background and a field in front of her with a snow-capped mountain peaks in the distance and the blast of Arctic air and little icicles glaring on her cheeks. That's an image, right?
A little tear in her eye because it's just little so dang good.
This is so good. And then, of course, then we pan back to the coffee shop where she's looking at this amazing first sip of iced Frappuccino, right? Okay, so the next customer steps up.
Ooh, I get to do one? Okay.
Yes, okay.
All right, so let's see. It's almost fall, so we're going to do the either loved or dreaded pumpkin spice latte. Let's do that.
Oh, I was hoping you would.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I'm going to go a little bit off script and make it a dude, right? Because I think that they usually, you know, pimp the pumpkin spice latte to women. But it's going to be like a, you know, hipster guy, and I'm gonna put him in like a cool fuzzy hat and a sweater, like a fuzzy sweater, and he takes his first sip. Maybe he's got like a mittened hand, and then his like brain zap flashes to he's like relaxing by a fire. He's got his feet up, they're also in warm comfy socks. There might be like a cool pumpkin in the background, like fall stuff, and he's just like sipping on his pumpkin latte.
As we're talking about these, the idea behind this kind of marketing approach is not that we're tapping into excitement for the ice Frappuccino girl or the warm and fuzzy comfy cozy for the pumpkin spice latte. It was a latte? Is that what you said? Pumpkin spice latte? We're not trying to tap into different archetypes here. This is, you are going to experience something different.
Right.
That's the idea. Okay, so let me do a third one. Okay, so the customer orders... the sweaty person, right?
Yeah.
Venti coffee with a double shot of espresso.
There you go. Yeah.
Double, maybe a triple shot.
Sure.
Okay, so his brain flashes. We see him trying to hold his coffee while he's trying to control his his Formula One racer. Let's put him in a race car.
Yeah, right? nice.
So he gets the cup, weaves it through the opening on his helmet. Right? Gets it to his lips.
I can see it. Totally
Without spilling it on himself, right?
Right.
And so, of course, we're going to then switch the view, and he's going to be blasting across the finish line, and the guy's waving the checkered flag, you know, frantically waving that thing. And okay, so we've got three definite approaches. And, of course, you could come up with
So many.
An infinite number. Yep. And our exercise here of putting me and Amy into this role of coming up with these ideas is that you can do the same thing. So listen to the advice that we're talking about, the whole ideas of being specific and tapping into emotion and taking people to other places and building stories and using the right words, picking the right visuals. This all forms this level of impactful marketing, which mm-hmm. hopefully we successfully just did. So,
yeah. Well, and it makes me think about too, like with these little vignettes that we just did, that was really fun, that not only are they having this experience, right, but it also establishes or reinforces that each one of those people got exactly what they wanted at Starbucks because they deserved it. They could get exactly what they wanted. Yeah.
They deserve
it. Right. So it's like a double header there.
So I can't disagree with that in any way, shape, or form. The storytelling is huge and the visuals support it all.
Yeah. Right? And that also goes back to like creating personas, which we've talked about in, you know, all their episodes or whatever for your products and services. So that's a fun little exercise too.
Yep.
So yeah. So if you're building an Explorer brand, you will find a huge amount of power in storytelling, of course. And mm-hmm. I think these examples that we just gave were, you know, little mini stories all on their own, each one. And that could have been like less than a 1 minute commercial probably.
Right. So. And Starbucks, if you are listening and you want to take that idea, run with it. We just ask, 10% of your gross profits for
10% of gross profits are like lattes for lattes for life.
Or lattes for life. I would
we can be all sweaty together.
Right. Well, I will definitely want the double shot of espresso. Because I need to be more energetic.
Right? Well, but that does bring up a good point. I mean, I know we covered this in the first episode we did about the Explorer, but like what is the like energy level of the Explorer, would you say?
I think it's fairly high because there is this, it doesn't have to be though. It doesn't have to be. There's usually a lot of excitement involved with outdoorsy kind of stuff. But if you're going for this, like if you're going with Gucci, you know, it's really high end cachet. I deserve it. It's a luxury thing. You don't have to go high energy.
Right.
On the other hand, if you're telling a story, why not build in a little bit of energy? Because you get a little boost there. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that storytelling and the mini stories on their own. I just need to say the visuals you pick and the stories that you tell don't have to be real, right? Just like what the little ideas, right? They just need to be powerful and they need to evoke powerful emotions that you want your audience to feel. You know, whether it's the winter spectacle, that comfy pumpkin spice latte dude, or you know, being drenched in adrenaline like our race car driver.
Right.
Your stories don't have to be real. Your words combined with your visuals, they do need to transport people. They need to make them feel truly that they are one of a kind and that they are special.
Right. They're special.
Yep.
Special. Yep. So just a little repeat. This was, what did you say, our 10th episode that we were talking about the marketing for each archetype. And we still have, what, the lover and the ruler to go. So in each of these, in each of these episodes, you'll notice we don't talk about specific marketing strategies, although we did just explain that little vignette thingy. But we talk about the logic and like the approach you should take with your new campaigns. So in this episode, we point out the power of storytelling, the specific points and ideas you might tap into to support the archetype or sub-archetype. Mm-hmm. And we really hope that you find this helpful. So as always, I mean, if you're struggling with picking an archetype, or you've settled on the Explorer archetype or any of the other ones, and you want to talk specifically to us about your product and ideas for your product and that kind of thing based on your archetype, you know, get a hold of us, contact us. We had a great conversation last week with one of our listeners, Zoe, and she pitched us her new product, which is fantastic. I'm not going to say what it is right here because I'm not sure what her rollout is, but it was awesome. And we gave her pointers, we talked about ideas, and it was a fantastic discussion. And Kevin and I enjoy doing this. So please reach out to us if you have questions or just want ideas. And it's, you know, I mean, it's
hey, fun. Zoe.
Hey, Zoe. It's fun for us. And we like to know that people are listening to us.
Right.
That's
right.
Also a bonus for us. So, So with that being said, Kevin, why don't you give us a wrap up?
Sure. Like we started off with, the brand archetypes as a brand is an explorer. We try to tap into these ideas that we've been talking about today every single time we do something with this organization. We hope that our podcast episodes, our book, the blog content that we're creating, that all of this is taking you and your company to places that you've never dreamed of. We want people to feel like, you know, this is a unique and special idea that their company, their products and services, they deserve to be this special. That we're going to take you on a journey where you are going to be able to differentiate yourself, and you weren't going to be able to do that before.
Right.
So yeah, this is definitely a journey we want to share with you. So yeah, please do reach out.
Yeah, and also, while brand archetypes, the concept of brand archetypes isn't exclusive to us, I mean, there's all kinds of information and websites and books and stuff out there about it. It isn't as widely used as you would think the marketing with small businesses and things like that. I mean, Kevin and I joke, you know, once in a while, like our goal is like world domination. Like every business should be picking an archetype and doing this because it's just that powerful, and it is. But it's just surprising how many, you know, people don't. Yeah. But it's also equally refreshing that when we do start explaining this to people or clients or things like that, how quickly and easily they get it and they adopt it and then they run with it. And that's really our goal, is to just help as many businesses as we can. Because you're all special.
That's right. Yeah. So if you are trying to create or market an explorer brand of any type, we'd love to hear about what you are doing, what your challenges are, what successes you've had, what ideas work for you, which ones didn't work so well, and you can reach out to us at brandarchetypes.com, and of course, follow us on all those social media platforms at Brand Archetypes.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have an adventurous week, Kevin.
Woohoo. Yep. Will do.
Bye.
In a sweaty kind of way.
Bye. Right. Lay off the espresso.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.